It's Monday, April 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek Gut Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 852, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our April GoDaddy special, get 35% off at GoDaddy using promo code Go35Off2. That's Go35Off2. Get that 35% now or get a .com for $2.95. You can find the details at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everybody, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Kind of an interesting find on the last show. We'll talk about the audio here in just a second, but I think we got those problems solved. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to Short Quest. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana members there. I want to thank you guys for coming out and joining me today. It's my great pleasure to bring you the show. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. And as always, we want to the best part about this show is that get to share a little personal stuff, get to talk a little tech, have a lot of fun in the process. So we want to make sure that all of the Ohana members, all the family members here of the show, stay subscribed. And those of you who are new, we want you to get subscribed to the show, and that's real easy to do. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all our great content. And, of course, when you're over on the website, all you got to do is go to the second column of the website, and you're going to find information there to subscribe to the show. And you're going to be able to subscribe to the RSS feed via iTunes. Whatever it may please you, you're going to be able to get access to the show 24/7. Now, we want to make sure that you get subscribed to the newsletter as well. And really, that's the best part of being connected with us here, because the newsletter is going to contain everything that I'm going to be talking about today. And I send that out immediately following the show. And really, that's a way to stay connected on a regular basis with us here. And, you know, when you're over on the website, don't forget we got lots of great writers as well. They're putting content out on a daily basis. And matter of fact, Jen just put something up on the website talking about ordering pizza through your Xbox 360. And there's lots of articles that's put up. I put a bunch of stuff up this weekend as well. We'll talk about that here later in the show. But again, the main thing is get subscribed via the second column of the website. Sign up for the newsletter as well. You'll find that in the header. And that way you'll never miss a single episode of the podcast here at Geek News Central. So you can always reach us on Twitter. And really, contacting me is easy. All you have to do is reach out at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Our call or voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 to get connected. If you missed the show when we're from the live recording, don't worry. About 99.99% of you download the show when it's basically been produced. Obviously, we do the show every Monday and Thursday night, and then, of course, it's released Tuesday and Friday morning, Eastern Standard Time. Basically, by the time you wake up on the East Coast, the show's published every Tuesday morning, so don't forget to grab it because the news is fresh and relevant. But that's how you get connected with us and stay connected is Twitter, email, through the Hot Action Hotline. You can watch us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on any device, on any glass, except for someone sent me an email, said, Todd, you're missing some glass. We'll talk about that a little later tonight when we do our listener email. Again, you can send feedback anytime as well. Of course, this show is part of the Tech Podcast Network. Get over to techpodcast.com. Check out all the great shows over there. And of course, we're sponsored tonight in part by our good friends at GoDaddy. And I tell you, GoDaddy's got some good deals for you right now. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you're going to find 35% off code on your total order. And that's fantastic. Now, this is on new orders. This is on existing stuff that you already own. But all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You'll find all of our codes there. They've got lots of great deals. There's a code there for every occasion. Definitely check. I used them today. I saved myself $96 on .com renewals and some other services I picked up. So what a way to start the day to save $100. And basically, I saved $100 on a little over $250 dollar purchase. So it was awesome. Again, we got the $295.com still going on right now. And that's really a deal that is pretty fantastic. Geek295 is the promo code. You can get a .com, again, $295 for a domain. And additional .coms are just $9.99. Now, here's how you work that. You get that first domain for $295. And then you come back over to the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page. And I've got $7.99.coms by using the promo code COMSALE. So you pick up that one at $295 by using the Geek295 code, cash out. Then you come right back to the website and use the COMSALE code to get those .coms at $7.99. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. I tell you, if it wasn't for them, things would be a lot different here. So we want to make sure that you support our sponsors so we keep the lights on, keep the family fed, keep the train moving here. It's definitely appreciated. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show. And we'll have a lot more good deals for you as the weeks and months progress. But take advantage of that 35% off code. That thing goes away here in just a couple of weeks. So you got a chance to save some money on some products that you may be looking to pick up. Well, I tell you, it's been an interesting weekend. And tonight, I spent a little time in getting the TriCaster dialed in from basically a color standpoint. So I'm hoping everything looks good. We got camera one, which I think is still a little bit off. Camera two, primary camera looks good. Camera three is dialed in as close as we're going to get it. And camera four, well, that's the long shot. And you guys can see the top of my head. It's getting a little bald up there for those of you that are actually watching. Those of you that are listening, you have been spared, I will tell you that much. But everything seems to be pretty close to dialed in. We're going to have to do some changes to one of those camera angles, make it a little better, get a little more interactive here. But for now, that's the way it is. And we're going to start doing some new stuff with the machine as well, bringing some virtual set stuff in as well. Screen, that'll be fun. And just having some stuff worked on now to be able to do that and be able to bring that to you. Well, let's talk just a little bit about the new media show that happened on this Saturday. Rob Greenlee and I had our guest Chris Perillo on. And talking with Chris, Chris was, down on podcasting, for a better word. And he is heavily invested in putting content on YouTube. And even though we had this long discussion about putting content on YouTube, it still appeared to me that Chris may not have been doing as well on revenue from YouTube as he was doing on revenue from advertisers that were on his show that he had arranged. Although he was having challenges in that because basically he says, I'm not a salesman, I'm a content creator. And that's what happens to a lot of folks. But definitely not a fan of podcasting. And he said something that really struck with me that I thought was surprising. He says, there's no engagement on podcasts. And I thought, what do you mean there's no engagement? He says, yeah, the listeners don't engage. I don't get feedback from my podcast. So he has a podcast that's up on Zoom and a variety of places, but he just doesn't get any feedback there. He gets feedback from YouTube. And we're trying to talk about the different types of content, how stuff goes online, and you know why some YouTubers are great YouTubers, but they're horrible podcasters, and some people are great podcasters, but they're horrible YouTubers, and there's very few that have basically crossed over and done both well. Don't know. It's a different audience. I'd love to hear you guys' feedback. If any of you are watching Saturday and have feedback for Chris, please send him an email. Or you can just comment on the blog post that's on my website. But it was a rough hour because it was very, very obvious that Chris was not at all thrilled with what's going on in the podcasting space. But we're showing growth. I know where there's growth. I know that more people are listening to shows every month across the board. Shows, you know, all shows have this kind of up and down type of motion that goes with them over time. But for the most part, there's more people listening today than there was years ago. The numbers continue to increase on a month-by-month basis. So from that aspect, you know, we may not be doing 100 million listens every month, but we're definitely moving a lot of traffic across all the different genres and different content. So do you agree with Chris? Do you guys think that podcasting is not engaging? I'd love to hear from you. And more importantly, I think it'd be important for you to basically ping Chris and tell him whether or not you think podcasts are more engaging than YouTube. I don't think YouTube stuff is that engaging. It's engaging for 15 seconds or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but it's not this long stream of ongoing content. And it's different from an engagement standpoint, in my opinion. But I'll let you guys be the deciding factor on that. And if you want to provide feedback, I'd be appreciated. But I will appreciate you if you do. So thanks very much for that. All right, let's talk just a little bit here. Sunday, my son and I went to what is termed a geek meet. Sixth annual geek meet happened here in Hawaii. There was folks that did the medieval dress up where they fought with basically wooden storms and jousting and all kinds of interesting things. That was kind of cool. There was Astronomy Club was there. The ham radio folks were there. The Ingress people were there. It was a pretty geeky crowd for sure. And had a good time at that. Hung out for a couple of hours. Ryan Ozawa, he was one of the folks that did the original Lost podcast back in the day that was widely popular. He was the organizer of it. And I want to thank Chris for his hard work and putting that event together every year. It's a thankless job, and I know he puts a lot of time and effort into it. So anyway, that kind of what happened over the weekend, besides me doing some product reviews, and we'll talk about those here in a few minutes on the show. But anyway, we're having, had a little bit of technical difficulty. Those of you that, after we put the new TriCaster in, I made the mistake of selecting mic versus line, and it's basically for, I don't know if you guys can see this, well, you probably can't, but there's just a little setting, and matter of fact, I'm kind of nervous about it. I should look at it now, and yeah, it's set to line, and basically what that did was caused on the video recording itself to be like had this overtone of modulation on the audio track, so that was not good in the least. Bad experience. Appreciate all the feedback because the emails all came and said, what is wrong with your audio? But operator error on my part. So anyway, that wraps it up on just kind of discussion points, but let's take care of our last sponsor spot. And we want to thank the folks from Citrix GoToMeeting for being back with us as a sponsor. You know, when your entire team can get together, it's amazing what can be accomplished. Projects that take weeks, decisions that take days are done right then and there. You know, gathering everything together from different locations can be time-consuming, expensive, and often just plain impossible. And that's the way it is with our team at Raw Voice. We're spread out across the country. So that's why we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It makes it easy for our team or even your team to get together online wherever you need to, no matter how far away people are. Doesn't matter if they're in another country or next door or basically three offices down. You wouldn't necessarily use GoToMeeting in that aspect. But with GoToMeeting, you share the same screen, so you stay on the same page. And the built-in HD video conferencing makes your online meetings just like being in the same room. Plus, it's simple. You know, it's simple to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, smartphone, or tablet, and you can even now present on your iPad. And it's fantastic. I absolutely love GoToMeeting. My team uses it on a daily basis. Matter of fact, we have got to the point where we're probably going to have another account because we've had overlapping events where I need to be on it, Angelo needs to be on it, or one of our other team members do. And it's basically, so we're at the point where we actually are going to have to add a second one. That's how much we use this product. So try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. Again, remember to use the promo code podcast to give that free trial out. And we appreciate you giving it a try. And we want to thank Citrix GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. One thing I do want to mention, and it's something that is been working with the folks over at Multimedia Communications on, and that is some discounts on some pro gear. Now, some of you, this may not at all be in your marketplace, but if you want to get a discount on the live stream gear through the end of April, go over to mmcom.com/livestream, and they're going to hook you up. Call my good friends over there. Talk to Don. Talk to Mike. You can call 480-422-1645. Tell them that Todd sent you. Make sure you use the promo code TPN when you're over there. Save some money. Get some great services from the folks at Livestream. We want to thank MMCom for working with us on a great deal. And we hope that you'll check it out as well. Okay, so let me go ahead and look at what I've got in my stack here. Kind of a short intro package tonight, just the way it is. Of course, like 15 minutes before the show started tonight, my wife is like, honey, can we talk for a second? So I'm like, bop out of the office, sit down beside her, and she's been pushing me to make a move. She wants to live closer to town, and I've kind of been resisting. It's just a big pain. You know how it is if you want to sell a house, buy a house, or if you want to, and you know, so she says, well, why don't we just rent a place, and then we'll rent this, and my brain kind of exploded. Not a good topic to talk to your husband about 15 minutes before a show starts. Because I'm not a big fan. And at this point in my life, you know, she really wants to get closer to town. That's the main thing, that, you know, taking the kids back and forth and everything is being a pain. We're probably spending, I'll self admit that the gas bill's too high from a fuel standpoint. You know, at $4.40 a gallon, I know everyone else is paying three something in the mainland, but that extra dollar and the distance and everything else is just, you know, in the traffic, it's not so bad. The distance, it's just the traffic and, dealing with all that. It's really riding on her. And we had thought about living closer to town when we first moved into this place, but it just wasn't in the budget. Now, I've got a little bit, I'm probably close. And this is when you buy a house, you don't want to be even. You want to make a little money on a sale, but I'm probably close to, if I put it on the market, I don't think I would make very much, but I would probably come out even. If I could do that, you know, that whole thing about, okay, got to find another place, got to put an offer in, you know, immediately sign on an offer. You got 30, 45 days. So you got to immediately put your place on the market, or you've had to done that already. You got to have all these things lined up so that you're not paying two mortgages. And in Hawaii, let me tell you something. It's not like you can have, you know, you were dealing with a $1,500 or $2,000 mortgage. No. You're talking $3,000 plus at a bare minimum on a monthly mortgage rate. Rentals are, you know, right around the same amount. And so it's been one of those kind of like, 10 minutes of me just like kind of, so I told her, why don't we talk about this when I have time to sit down and we can do some math and paperwork and see how it all crosses over. And then number one, you got to get this house would have to be got into, you know, when you get ready to sell a house, you got to do certain things to get it 100% sale ready, make it the most presentable, get the most bang for your buck. And I'm like, how in the world am I going to find time to even do that? So yeah, crazy stuff here. So we'll see what happens. We're all cool, nothing right now. But the goal is to get 10 to 12 miles closer to town to save 45 minutes each way on the commute when there's traffic, or an hour and a half when there's a wreck, or 3 hours when they shut the highway down for a death. Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, long story short, She wants to move, and sometimes you're going to have to, you know, be flexible. And I'm sure many of you went through this before, but I spent 24 years moving every 3 years. And I really don't want to move at this point. I really don't. But anyway, enough on that. Let's go ahead and move on. Thanks for letting me kind of share and vent a little bit. So let's go ahead and load up the content. I've got a stack of stuff for you tonight. Matter of fact, there was so much stuff. I kind of just like dumped a lot of it. But one thing I want to talk about first off, and this has to do with the situation in Boston. You know, when I first heard, you know, that they had, you know, they put the pictures up and they then announced it that they had this gunfight, and the one older brother of these two had been killed, and the second guy, the younger brother, was on the run, and you know, all this stuff was going through my mind, you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you know, either this is going to end real, real bad, or this guy's going to get shot and killed in a shootout, or they're going to, you know, they're going to capture him, and then we're going to go through 2 years or 3 years of publicity on the trial. Well, now what we're at is we're at a spot where this, in my opinion, the scum of the earth has been captured, and rightly so interviewed by the authorities. But, you know, I really guess I had not followed this whole situation with, and the reason I want to talk about this is it's dealing around privacy and rights and everything else. We know that the CISPA has passed the House, probably going to the Senate for some discussions. But, you know, we've got all this stuff going on right now. And even though this younger brother was an American citizen and the older one wasn't, they didn't read his rights to him when he was captured. And, you know, having spent 24 years in the Navy, I'm thinking, yeah, they got this guy. They're going to treat him as an enemy combatant. And you know, so, and then on the other side, my other part of my brain saying, wait a minute, he is a U.S. citizen and they're not reading him his rights. And so what does this mean from a legal perspective? And I don't think all of us fully understand that. And I know that I don't know all the nuances either of the rules and how people can be classified and all this. And I'm sure over the next several months, we're probably all going to hear too much information about this. But when it comes to privacy and our rights, you know, what we've been seeing over the past, since I started doing this show in 2004, is we saw the DMCA, we saw the Patriot Act, we've seen CISPA, we've seen a number of measures come into play, be voted on, and basically they're whittling away at, number one, our privacy, number two, our rights. And, you know, this country was founded on the principle of, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, and you have rights within a court of law and due prudence and all the stuff that goes on in the legal system. And I don't know. I'm sure there is two distinct camps that are, one, take this guy and, you know, throw him in Gitmo, and then there's the other side of the group that's saying he needs to be, they should have read his Miranda rights to him at the beginning. And so, you know, this is this thing that's going on in this country, and I don't really know where I fall out on this from a thought process, but it just goes to show you that the changes that have happened since 9/11 and everything that has progressed since then has all been about trying to protect the country. And, you know, we got cybersecurity issues. I mean, there's this whole bunch of stuff that is truly changing the landscape, at least those of us that live here in the United States. And I'm sure this is happening into other countries that people live in that listen to the show as well. So I don't want to forget them. But at the same point, I never thought that they would treat initially someone as an enemy combatant that was doing something as an American citizen of the United States. I understand if you're an American citizen, you go somewhere and fight against America, then that's a whole different situation. But and none of it's good. And, you know, none of it is, you know, all of it's, you know, these people should find themselves in behind bars for a long time, especially with, you know, the situation in Boston. And I'm not trying to belay anything that happened there, but where do you guys lay on this whole thing on how it ties to privacy rights? You know, it's all kind of this big collage of stuff right now that should make you sit back and go, just a little bit on one hand, they want to, you know, you're saying, I want to take that guy and I want them to beat the information out of him. And the other thing is, well, no, he's, you know, he needs to be treated as a, you know, as a someone that's been charged with something to go through the process and do the civilized legal proceedings. And whether that ends up in the punishment that's going to be dealt, we don't know. But, you know, you're the emotion gets in on one thing and the legal part is on the other. And you just don't know, at least me, I don't know how to really totally react on either side of the fence. And there's some stuff I like about one and one stuff I like about the other and stuff I don't like about one. So it's kind of bizarre, right? You're really torn. Are you guys in the same boat right now? That's kind of what I am. You know, and the folks at Reddit, you know, the founder of Reddit, general manager Eric Martin, it's apologized to the Reddit community and basically the world on their reaction to what happened with the Reddit folks acting as amateur investigators and basically pointing out people that were not at all, you know, involved in this thing. And it started, as he says, though action started with noble intentions, some of the activity on Reddit fueled online witch hunts and dangerous speculation, which piled into the very negative consequences for innocent parties. So he talks about one person who was pegged as a suspect by the amateur online detectives. And I'm not going to say her name. And the family ultimately got apologized to directly. But imagine, you know, someone saying, I think that's a suspect. But you got kind of crazy on the web. You got crazy with the news. And we've come a long way since 9/11 from a news perspective and social media and everything else. And boy, it was interesting to watch. And I think we all have to learn to be sensitive. And, you know, the power of the internet can go both ways. But it was interesting from that perspective. The Reddit crew on the net basically came in and made some apologies. And I don't know. I don't see where this will go. One thing it did happen today is the TSA basically delayed their knives on planes policy change. So that's been delayed. So no, you can't take your little pocket knives with you when you go flying tomorrow. That new ruling is not in place. The TSA is delayed on that. Now, they didn't say that was the reason they said they delayed was because they had gotten feedback from the Aviation Security Advisory Committee. And I think it was just a wake up call for all of us here in America. You know, there's been terrorist acts in Spain and a variety of other countries as well since 9/11, where a lot of people have gotten killed. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are still getting maimed and blown up in Afghanistan and lots of, you know, just basically craziness out there still. And this has finally landed home here in the United States. And we'll see. Hopefully this doesn't fuel more of this type of stuff. But I think we all just have to be a little bit more on guard in realizing that, you know, the world is still a pretty nasty place at times. But no knives on planes at this point. Now, a little more refreshing news and something that was a major accomplishment today. The folks at Antares, they were able to get their rocket making its maiden voyage into space with, they had some delays due to some mechanical stuff early on, but according to The Verge and the video that I watched on this particular company's website, they did well. It's a great article, videos on space.com as well. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. They put some stuff up on YouTube already for you to watch. And let me see if I can load this here. Bada bing, bada boom. Here it comes. For those of you that are listening, oh, did it go? Yeah, it did. Essentially, they had some great video, spectacular video. Matter of fact, some of the separation of stages video was pretty awesome. Never knew they used springs to help separate the vehicles, but that's all they really used. But made a 12-minute launch into space, and they're going to be doing a series of tests before they start doing the real deals to the International Space Station. They're scheduled to do, I think, 8 trips to the International Space Station with gear just like SpaceX. So the Antares rocket made its debut and did very, very well. So exciting stuff. Time will tell here on how they end up doing performance-wise during this this test phase. But congratulations to them, and definitely watch the video. It's a cool 12-minute video to watch. Hey, one thing I want to make you aware of is the Senate has passed the online sales tax bill by 74 to 20. Your tax-free days of shopping online are numbered. If Senate 743, also known as the Marketplace Fairness Act, becomes law, the millions of us that basically are able to shop today and avoid sales tax will have to start paying. So if you've got some big purchases to make, we will we'll have to make some moves here. Now, the bill will compel companies having annual online sales of more than $1 million to collect sales tax on those purchases. Interstate sales tax have really been exempted since the beginning of the internet. But with brick-and-mortar businesses having complained so much about this, not being able to compete, they've had some trouble. Now, a key opponent to this was Amazon, and they recently switched sides, and after losing some key legal and political battles over taxation, Amazon already collects taxes on sales in 9 states, including California, New York, and Texas. So the Senate made this move forward. We'll see what happens. I'm sure this will probably go through the House very, very quickly. And I don't know what's beeping over here. Something is. But of course, I have no idea whether or not the president is going to sign this or not. But anyway, that's the story. And we may be facing paying sales tax online on our purchase here in the very near future. Well, Netflix, woo! They came out swinging today. They had a great, great, great quarter. And they are very excited with their growth, 2 million new subscribers. And more importantly, they're making some announcements here that Netflix is going to offer $11.99 family plan with up to 4 simultaneous streams. So that's pretty cool. Now, there's been a 2-stream limit up to this point, but that's an exciting stuff. Now, what's interesting and what's to think about here, and what I like about this is, okay, you got one in college, you send them with a Netflix account, right? You got a kid in the house who wants to watch a video on Friday night. Kid in college is watching one, and you can also stream something as well. So, you know, real easy there. You can bust a 2-stream plan, but up to 4. So this is going to be outstanding. They're going to add a 4-stream plan at $11.99 in the U.S. So, The streaming service expects a mere 1% of customers will take advantage of the upcoming more generous family plan, and they're saying that like 1 million people or something like that is not paying for Netflix and using friends' accounts and so forth. So a lot of people are using other family members' accounts. So it's kind of an interesting move here. Maybe they're trying to raise a little more revenue and stem. Get some of that, I guess, for a better word, account writing under control. If you are, if you're looking for a job right now, solar industry may be the one for you. According to CNN Money, solar jobs outnumber ranchers in Texas and actors in California. Of course, there's probably a lot of unpaid actors in California, but and of course, in Texas, the ranches are big. So I don't know what that means for total numbers. But, Solar City recently teamed up with Home Depot. But nationwide, the solar industry says it employs 119,000 people, up 13% from last year. And, of course, a lot of that is because the feds are offering such fantastic rebates when it comes to putting a solar system in. You know, the tax rebate is incredible. But I think that's money well spent. It's one thing that it's going to help us get greener. It's going to help us use less fossil fuels. And if you're considering making the move to solar, and it's something that my wife and I have done a lot of research on, of course, now that she's saying that she wants to sell this place, I'm like, hold up, we're not putting solar in if we're selling this place in a year, because I'm not going to get my money back and it's not going to raise my house valuation that much. But if you need to know about shopping for solar, there's a great article on Bloomberg Businessweek talking about all the details on what to look for about the incentives in your region, how to pay for it, lease versus power purchase. I'm not a big fan of lease at this point, based on some of the things I've seen from, you know, projected increases in cost, the type of gear that's going to be used, the, you know, basically the warranty and so forth that you get with the system, and what to look for when you're getting ready to do a solar install, PV install in your house, contract things to look out for. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, in a more, I guess, entertaining article, Prenda, yes, Prenda again, is angry. They are not at all happy. What happened was, is they've been dismissing lawsuits all over the country, unloading them. Now, there's a guy in Georgia by the name of Patel. He's a defendant in one of these cases. And the folks at Prenda basically said, okay, we're going to dismiss this. But basically, the this gentleman by Patel basically came back and said, hold up, you're going to dismiss my case. You know, I've already had to hire a lawyer. Yeah, I'm not going to have to pay anything. You've drugged me into court. You're going to dismiss this. I want you to pay for my lawyer fees. So that's kind of an interesting move. The guy's willing to basically say, hey, you know, you've, you know, drugged my name around the mud. You've made put me in the public record of having been sued by you guys. You've called me a copywriter infringer. Now I want you to pay. Well, the lawyer on the case went off and he filed this counter brief, and it was just, oh. And basically there's an article over on Tech Dirt, and the guest lawyer that did the post on Tech Dirt is basically saying, when it comes to getting angry in federal court, you probably shouldn't do a angry submission. In other words, the documents you shouldn't be full of anger and hatred, but that's what they did. They called the EFF. They had some very choice words for the EFF. It says the EFF is a left-wing organization with just some of the same goals as anti-government group Anonymous, as well as a terrorist group WikiLeaks. So this is, he put this in his filing. So he's going off about the EFF, and it's just, they have lost their minds. They're desperate. They're trying to get out. They know they're going to be liable for cash, and everyone's smelling blood in the water. So the sharks are coming. All right, now let me take a deep breath here. A well-known author, Carrie Doctorow, has published a book about censorship. It's called Homeland. And Fox has been using bogus DMCA claims to censor Cory Doctorow's book. So what's going on here is these DMCA notices are being sent to, see, Fox has a book program called Homeland. So Cory's book is called Homeland. But it, see, Corey introduced the book, and he made it available via BitTorrent, and he's made it available as a Creative Commons attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative license, and can be shared. So he's made this available to be shared. He got a donation model, and Fox has sent over 240 takedown notices against pirating sites and a variety of different places to remove this from distribution. Now, Cory Doctorow said in his Twitter account, Fox is sending sloppy, fraudulent takedowns of my novel, Homeland, confusing it with their TV show of the same name. A prominent lawyer by the name Paul Allen Levy, those of you who've been listening to the show know Paul and some of the stuff he's done. You know, he's pretty famous guy here. So Paul Allen Levy replied on his Twitter feed, Doctorow, you want to litigate? So this could be interesting, considering these takedown notices are happening at a critical moment for the book. Just as it's been launched, you know, a very strong argument can be made that Fox has created tremendous damage for Doctorow and the success of the book, while the field attempts to go after those to send bogus DMCA takedowns haven't had much success. This could be a pretty interesting case. Now, they're sending the takedown notices to the same people that process the six strike stuff. So if you download Cory Doctorow's book and you get a six strike against this download, you've even got more issues. You've had one strike against you for no reason whatsoever. So the company he's been sending in town is to DTECnet, D-T-E-C-N-E-T. And again, DTECnet powers the six strike copyright alert system. So, wow, this is going to get crazy. These bogus DMC takedowns continue to plague people. Tomorrow, Verizon is going to be introducing their 2013 data breach investigations report. It covers data breaches investigated during 2012 by the company's risk team and 18 other organizations from around the globe. So the report compiles information from over 47,000 incidents and 621 confirmed data breaches that resulted in at least $44 million $44 million compromised records, not dollars. So Verizon, in this initial kind of pre-release, said that one in five data breaches are a result of cyber espionage. So this could be an interesting report tomorrow. Be on the street and available again, probably when the show is just about time the show is being released. And tie into this interview I had with Chris Prillo with Rob Greenlee this weekend, it appears it's getting harder to make money on YouTube. And with 72 hours of content being uploaded basically every minute or so, that's a huge amount of content to try to monetize. And there's some good information here. So if you're looking to get rich on YouTube, but don't plan on it unless you can drive billions and billions of views. That is definitely, you're not going to get much movement there. All right, Japanese police target users of Tor Anonymous Network. Japanese people who abuse the Tor Anonymous browsing network could be blocked from using it. This was a recommendation made in a report drawn up by the National Police Agency in Japan by a panel of technology experts. The ISPs are not happy about this. They've not welcomed the recommendation. They're saying the communication privacy is our lifeline. They won't be able to accept such a request, and industry insider told the Minichi Shimbun. So we'll see what this is, but it was all about one. Basically, the recommendations came from one guy that was a pretty bad dude from a hacker standpoint, and that he was finally caught by taunting the police and doing some stuff outside of the internet that caught him caught on a CCTV. But interesting. Basically, telling the folks use Tor, we're going to come round you up, but. Tor basically helps you hide your tracks when you're on the internet. That's what Tor does. Good article on BBC talking about Apple. Experts view on the tech firm's next big product. And of course, Apple's going to be announcing its earnings tomorrow. So I'm kind of in the bandwagon of hoping Apple proves everybody wrong, having coming out with a big number, because their stock has just gotten hammered. But bunch of people have made their predictions on what's coming next and, what they need to do to get out of their slump. But I'll have this up in the link in the show notes. But more importantly, we'll all be watching the earnings report tomorrow that comes out from Apple. Hey, EA, they're rolling out a major SimCity simulation change. So update 2.0 will fix significant bugs and includes interface improvements. Those of you that are SimCity fans. So if you'll see that come up as well. Hey, if you are you want to get off this planet, applications are open for Mars One, the first human space colony. Hey, that's a one-way ticket to Mars. You're not coming back. But Mars One, the private space project that plans to be the first to send humans to Mars and leave them there, officially opened its doors to would-be Mars residents per a press release. And you can apply. You can apply to be one of the participants. And so they are requesting a processing fee, though, to process your application. $38. So it's going to cost you kind of sounds like a scam, doesn't it? But they're going to be raising money, $38, to apply to be one of the folks that's going to go to Mars. So if you and your wife want to roll out there, you can apply. They've raised $72,000 in donations already to go to Mars in 2023, and they're probably going to take $72 billion before it's all over, but time will tell. Hey, I did have to laugh here today because they must have used a stock photo or something. Let me bring up an article that's over on the Register. So a four-day hacking competition run by the National Security Agency to find top military system designers and administrator was awarded the 13th annual cyber defense exercise to a team from the U.S. Force Academy. And I'm going to basically roll this up. And these guys are, I'm pretty sure these are Civil Air Patrol high schoolers in this picture. I do not believe that these are Air Force Academy cadets. It looks to me like the one guy's wearing a cap, shoulder board. The other one isn't. So I don't know. I was going to bring my daughter in here because, but I'm pretty sure this is, and they portray this to be an Air Force, Academy person. I don't think that's their uniform, but I could be wrong. I just had to laugh when I saw that today. But anyway, they had this contest and it, was made up of midshipmen, U.S. Air Force Academy, U.S. Coast Guard Academy, Naval Postgraduate School, the Royal Military College of Canada, and the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. So they were on an 84-hour hack and defend type of thing, and they did pretty good. So the Air Force came out on top on this one. You ever wanted to buy something on iTunes but said, oh, man, I'm not on my broadband connection to download it? Well, the iTunes Store adds a buy now, download later option for video and music. So that's good news. If you have I want to get that, but want to download it later, you can do that now in the iTunes Store. Good article over on andrewchen.co talking about why developers are leaving the Facebook platform. And I think Facebook's got some real issues. I think they've got some real challenges ahead. I think their interface changes so often. The developers are sick and tired of having to retool their API and everything else. I think there's also ongoing issues with people maybe not staying on Facebook as long as they were. And if they are, they're just chatting with friends and not participating and doing a lot of gaming or using a lot of different apps. So anyway, there's a big shift. And not a lot of people are building Facebook apps right now, which doesn't bode well for Facebook. But we'll see where this leads. You guys didn't know GrooveShark? Well, there's an article on Mashable talking about GrooveShark and the CEO and the challenges that they faced over the last year. And the headline on this was pretty incredible. It says, GrooveShark CEO says, I'm broke. And it actually shows him with his playing the ukulele. And Sam Tarantino talked about what happened to his music startup between 2011 and 2012. And he basically said it was like getting hit in the face 10,000 times and some things that they're doing. So one thing that they've down their staff to a very minimal thing. They're only working out of a couple offices in New York. They're still not making a lot of money, but they've introduced a new feature basically called it's a broadcast feature where you can be basically a virtual DJ, and they made the interface set up so that you can make audio commentary between tracks and basically have your own show. It's a user-generated radio station, which makes it available so people can, you know, kind of like try their hand at being a DJ. And the DJ can select songs, records, 30-second audio interludes, and see real-time listening stats. Listeners can engage with one another and offer feedback and song suggestions to the DJ through a live chat feature on the site. So it sounds kind of cool, a little fun to do. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right, CBS has taken a stake in Syncback, eyeing the Arrow threat. CBS now owns a piece, and basically they've taken a minor stake in a local TV streaming video venture backed by broadcasters. And this is one of the ways that the industry is responding to the startup's Arrow, which refuses to pay retransmission fees. And basically, they're going to try to build their own platform and basically tie it to your subscription. If you have a subscription to TV, they're going to make it so that you can get access to this, where Arrow basically says, you don't have to have any subscription. Just pay us $8 and we'll give you the access to the over-the-air television stuff. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. CBS is, they're all worried about this, which makes me think that maybe the Arrow folks are have a better chance of winning than maybe what I thought they did originally. A lot of demand out there for older model iPhones. They're more popular than ever going forward here. And, you know, there's a lot of them, the iPhone 4S models are pretty cheap right now, but even the older ones are even more inexpensive. So they're still selling pretty fantastic. And just shows you there's a big resale market for iPhones. If you use Gmail a lot with a, you know, basically on the web, there's a whole bunch of keyboard shortcuts that I don't know if you're familiar with or not, but there's a pretty cool article, a cheat sheet for every single Gmail keyboard shortcut. It gives you a way to move around quicker, do replies, quoting, and so forth. And if you learn all those, it might make you as efficient as using a desktop application like Outlook or something similar. The folks over at NASA Solar Dynamic Observatory, SDO, has been shooting continuously photos of the sun for the past 3 years here. They do this once every 10 seconds in 10 different wavelengths, and the results are pretty amazing. So what they've done is they put all those photos together, and in 3 minutes, you get to see, I think, 3 years worth of solar snapshots. And fun video to watch. Cool music background, and definitely something that you can water cooler break, take a check that out as well and give it a look. How many of you are familiar with what's called a passive house? You know, I always thought that technology is the way they are. There's no reason why, if you're going to remodel a home or if you're going to build a home for the first time, there's no reasons why that you can't make that house super, super efficient. But there's a living building challenge. It's a certification system that rates the sustainability of a building over the course of a year. And there's a house on 32 Park Place in Manhattan that basically, it's a 25-year-old building system founded by a group, and they basically make the house real equal efficient. In other words, not too much stuff escapes through the windows, cracks, and so forth. And some pretty interesting pictures, infrared pictures that accompany this article. And they say at some point, as houses are remodeled, that cities are going to start to transform, because what they're going to be able to do is to make the homes much more efficient in retaining heat, thus requiring less energy to sustain them, being able to lower our footprint. And I think that's smart, but it's pretty cool, the images. And while it isn't inexpensive to do that, over the time, it pays huge, huge dividends. Hey, over the past week and a half, I've been using a review product from the folks at Panavice that's called PortaGrip. I'm really jazzed. This basically is by far the best phone holder that I've ever used. It's available for $29.95 from the folks at Panavice, but read my article. It's really slick, because what it does, and it sits on your dash, you push a little button and it snaps open. And when you put your phone in the little holder, you just you squeeze it shut. It's on a, basically you can squeeze it till it's tight and the phone's not going anywhere, but you can easily get it out. It's got little rubber pads on the side. It's not like you have to push it in there. And plus the suction cup is fantastic. It's been in my vehicle a week, has not fell off the windshield yet. So this is is what I consider the best vehicle phone holder that I've ever come across. So definitely give that a checkout. I got the article again up at geeknewscentral.com. It's still in the front page rotation, but just do a search for Panavice. As a matter of fact, I've got other Panavice products here in the studio, and I didn't even realize that they make a lot of other different types of camera mounts as well. Another thing I did is I tested out the MXL BCD1, a dynamic broadcast microphone. So I was playing it with it in the studio here for a while over the weekend. And, you know, you guys know when I first started podcasting, I used an MXL microphone that probably sold millions across the country. And you know that I've used a variety of microphones. And really what I really do is I do best with condenser phones. So the way you can tell a condenser phone from a dynamic is if you listen to this, or let me just tap it, you can hear it, doom, 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 right? And dynamics are a little more, you can be a little more aggressive with them and that you don't hear so much of the boom, boom, boom back. But they also take a lot more power, a lot more gain to drive your mixer. So if I've ever used a dynamic mic, I've had to have an amplifier in front of it before the mixer to really get that gain up without bringing the white noise up. But this microphone, which costs $170, did real well with no preamplifier in front of it. And this is probably going to be the configuration that most podcasters are able to afford because a good preamp can be very expensive. It costs even more than the mic would. But my test at Unity, and that's basically on a mixer where you put U is kind of the optimal place to start at, wasn't too bad from a sound point. I was actually pretty surprised, and this thing is ruggedly built, nice mic, and definitely will be something that folks that are thinking about starting a podcast will want to check out. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I tried out a pro streaming service called StreamView that required a producer station, a box in between, and I was able to run that here for a few hours, testing the different settings, getting it set up, going through their process. I wrote a review on this. This is not for the faint of heart, but if you're thinking about doing a video on demand or a pay-per-view event, this may be a solution that you'll want to look at. It's all designed. You set it up. You tell them how much you want to charge, and when people want to view it, they have to pay. It's pretty slick, but the pricing plans for the service is definitely not cheap. The box I was actually testing was a $2,000 box that would take an HDMI in, SDI in, or composite. They have units that start at $399, where it's composite only. But the plan started at $15 a month plus 50 cents a gig for bandwidth, all the way up to $500 a month, which includes up to a terabyte of bandwidth, which is a pretty good deal from if you think about the cost of bandwidth alone, you're getting a lot there for $500 a month. But again, this is designed for someone that's going to do a pay-per-view or video on demand type of a video streaming type thing where you basically and you can use it for a streaming service, but I think it's a little pricey on the doing it as a non-VOD or something like that. I've been working, matter of fact, I ordered the parts. Let me show you guys this. I was jazzed when I saw it at NAB. It's called the Padcaster. And I'm going to be using this in a variety of different ways. I've thought up some cool, let me bring this up. Let's see if there's a picture here. But what the Padcaster is, it's basically hold your iPad and you can make a video shooting rig with this. And but there's different uses for it as well besides doing video shoots. And so I've ordered some parts. And I'll be documenting what I'm going to be doing with it. I'm pretty excited. I think what I'm going to be doing is a little bit unique. I don't think other people have done. So we'll see when I get it built. I'll share it with you guys. But ordered stuff on Amazon over the weekend. And hopefully, and did it just ground mail. So it's kind of like one of those projects I'm building slowly. So hopefully in a couple of weeks, I'll have something to show you. And I'm pretty excited about being able to. First build of it just has the basic build, and then I'm going to add the additional features to add the what I quote unquote what I think is going to be special about it. But the Padcaster's pretty cool at thepadcaster.com. But when I was cruising the news sites today, I found another type of product called Photo Jojo. It's a telephoto lens bringing up to 12 times optical zoom to your iPad, and this is available. The lens is only $25 at the source, and you need a little adapter that's going to go on your iPad to mount the lens to. But this thing's pretty slick. 10 times zoom for the iPad, 12 times zoom for the iPad mini. But I'll have a link up. It's for you in the show notes to check this out. But a lot of people are using these as their primary cameras now. So a lot of innovation in that standpoint. All right. When I was at the Geek Meet here in Honolulu over the on Sunday, I got to talking to these guys that, oh, there was a group there that was also building a variety of like the Ghostbusters ion phase array thing, whatever. Anyway, one of these guys had a mock-up of that. It was made out of fiberglass. It looked pretty convincing. And we got to talking about 3D printing. And there was recently a 3D printing conference and expo that happened over this past weekend. So there's a lot of crazy stuff being done in this space. And it's really the wild, wild west now. And lots of just really cool things are happening. So I'm going to have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. And there's a great article over at Engadget and some videos and some pictures. But it won't be too long. And we're all going to be able to print some cool stuff in these machines. And I'm sure there's going to be businesses that are going to set up where you don't have to buy a machine. You just come in with your design and they print it for you. That time will tell on that. All right. In my house, our dishwasher gets filled up really fast. I mean, you put stuff in it and, you know, every day it's being run. There's not two or three days between running. But those of you that don't create as many dishes as we do, there's an ultraviolet lamp that keeps your dishwasher clean no matter how dirty the dishes. And it's basically a UV disinfectant lamp, and it promised to eliminate some of that bacteria that's in there. When left inside, it automatically turns on for 12 minutes every 24 hours to thoroughly clean your dishwasher's interior. So we'll see. Now, this device is not waterproof, so you need to remove it before you run the dishes. So don't forget that. It's $30. I don't know how much proof there is that this really is that effective, but if it's on the internet, it has to be true, right? Okay. Hey, again tonight, if you got comments on the show, call the hotline, 619-342-7365. You can email me an audio clip. We've got one of those to play tonight. Definitely can email me as well at geeknews@gmail.com. But how many of you'd like to have an edible spoon? Well, there's a prototype out. It's called, yes, the Edible Spoon, real original. And so basically it's about having a smarter carbon footprint. You know, whatever, it's being delivered in a plastic bag. I'm sure me washing stainless steel eating utensils for 20 years is probably a lot more environmentally friendly than having an edible spoon. But they do have those available. It's called the Eco Spoon. It's going to be available just at a limited quantities in certain sites. Link will be in the show notes. But if you want to get really green, this is the way to do it. And finally, on the super geek side, then the folks over at Netgear have released an 802.11.ac. They've updated and adds beamforming and delivers up to a 60% Wi-Fi. So this is pretty cool. So if you've got an R6300 router or an A6200 USB adapter, basically they're going to be updating your firmware patch that rolls out support for the beamforming standard. And the upgrade targets wireless signals at devices-specific locations, offering a big speed boost at shorter distances. Netgear estimates up to 60% improvement at a 50-foot range. And so anyway, this is pretty cool. And you're going to get this update to be able to make your current router that you have, if it's a A6200 or an R6300, you're going to be able to get the update for it. All right, let me go ahead and open up email here. And I know that I've got an email from Trucker Tom that contained an audio file, and I don't have the audio plugged in. So let me see. Okay, so just fair warning, I'm plugging a mini jack into a computer, which could cause a little buzz. So just pull your earphones away for just a second here, and I'm going to plug this in. That was pretty clean, so apologize for you there for a second. And let's see if we can find this audio comment from Trucker Tom. And is it attached? Yes. And can I just click and open it? I think so. And I want to play this. Yeah, that'll work. Here we go. Oh, hang on a second.
Listening to your latest podcast, and you were...
Okay, we're going to start this over, because we could barely hear it. Here we go again.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I was listening to your latest podcast, and you were talking about buying a Google Nexus 7 tablet, and I believe you are primarily using it with some sort of a game that you're playing. But in any case, you expressed surprise about the Nexus and what you get for your money. It's a great value for the money. I bought one, a 32 gigabyte version, a couple of months ago, and of course that sells for $249. Bought it at a local Office Depot store, and I'm amazed with it. Now, I have an iPad 2 that I've had for some time now, and I'm not using the iPad much anymore, but I'm making considerable use of the Nexus 7. The Nexus 7 has a nice screen, as you noted. And what I find is that the 7-inch widescreen format really is, at least for me, very close to the ideal size for a tablet, because you can hold it with one hand and use the touchscreen easily with the other, whereas with an iPad it's more difficult to hold with one hand and the same sort of configuration. The iPad, after you use something the size of a Nexus 7, you go back to an iPad and it seems kind of huge and sort of clunky. So the Nexus 7, I'm really impressed with the device. As I say, it represents a tremendous value for the money, because you can do a whole lot of stuff with it. And it's just a sleek size. It's small enough to, if you're wearing a coat or a vest, it's small enough to slip in one of those pockets without too much trouble. And it's really an amazing device for the money. So I think that the 7-inch, especially the 7-inch widescreen, as a tablet, as a device size, I think that's very close to the ideal size for a tablet for a lot of people. So, in any case, enjoy listening to your podcast as always. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, Trucker Tom, thanks for that. And I know you're rolling down the highway here. I could hear you there. Thanks for the comments. And yeah, the Nexus 7, man, what a machine. I'm really duly impressed with it, and been using it quite a bit. Very happy with it. For the price, you really can't go wrong. I do apologize. I had one email come in from a listener, and Tom was talking about the... Of course, you can check out the Trucker Tom podcast. Just Google Trucker Tom podcast. It has some great content as well. But sorry, going back, we had one email that came in that was... basically saying, Todd, you're not on all glass. And I apologize. I'm digging through the emails. I must have dumped it in a wrong folder. So I'll save that for the next show. But it was a very good point that as the devices expand, we may not be on all glass, but we're pretty close to being on all glass. That's the goal. But I'll cover that on the next show. I'll dig that out and get it to you guys. Got an email here from MS Small Biz, and it says, Todd, here's a good reminder for all content creators. Make sure what they think they're broadcasting is what they mean to broadcast. An effort to be first with news, one of the TV media channels did a webcast interview with a local Boston runner, and nobody did a quick check of the background. Now, I'm not going to put the link up in the background. All I can say is, they should have put some things away. I can't say any more than that, or we're just, it's, let's just put it this way. They didn't clean up. But, you know, I laugh all the time because it's very curious. You guys probably are looking here. You can see over this shoulder, my trash can. You can see here, you know, some things that I've got stacked. If I change the view, you get a little more information of what's, you know, what's out. But, you know, just imagine, you know, something, you know, stuck on a shelf somewhere that maybe would cause a little embarrassment, you know, not personally, but if you videotape it, always make sure you do a little, you know, and it's, you know, a lot of folks on the Chive, KCCO, a lot of the gals that, and my son laughs all the time because he was, hey, dad. And then I'm like, okay. He says, look at this picture. And he says, look real close. And you'll see something in the background. He's not even talking about the subject in the picture, but he'll like point at something in the background. And he laughs. He's like, did they not know that was back there before they took the picture? And we both get a little chuckle out of it. But if you're taking pictures of yourself, make sure you not only look at the, you know, the picture of yourself, but look at the background and make sure, you know, you're not getting a reflection of somebody in the shower, or if you've, you know, left clothing articles around, or, you know, it's a really interesting to look at people's pictures they put online, because I don't necessarily look so much at the subject. I always look around as well. And it's always worthy of a few chuckles, and most people don't realize it probably till later. Like, oh, I can't believe I put that on online. You see that? And you don't want to have one of those moments and be embarrassed by your friends, family members that send you a little email and say, hey, look at the right-hand corner of your picture. You may want to take that offline, because our lives are our lives, right? We live online. We do stuff online. We take pictures, and it's just, you know, you live in your household and you don't worry about it. But, you know, people can have form very quick opinions about people when they see stuff in their background that maybe go make them scratch their chin a little bit. And if nothing else, it just prevents embarrassment. Got a link that came in from on a Google Plus page on a system that Adam Curry is working on. It's called the Podcaster. And it's kind of funny because Adam is making himself a portable audio rig that's pretty cool. He's got a nice video of this. I'll have that link up in the show notes as well. But it's probably something we'll talk about on the New Media Show this coming weekend. But this weekend, we're going to have, you know, if those of you, you may want, and of course, if this doesn't interest you, don't worry. I don't want to press you into watching another show, but I'm really excited about an upcoming interview that we have. This coming weekend. This is probably going to be one of the more, I guess, engaging hosts that we're going to have on. We're going to have Michael Wolff on. He's the author of a recent Forbes article. And basically, he did an article on podcasting. It was entitled Funny Man and iPhones, Why the Podcast is Finally Coming into Its Own. It was up on Forbes on the 4th of April. We're going to have him on for a full hour and a half. We're going to talk, or an hour, 15 minutes. We're going to talk about that article. I'm going to talk about, you know, give him some input there and share some information back and forth. It should be a lot of fun on the New Media Show this coming Saturday. Don't forget the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, all these great shows here at Geek News Central. Make sure you subscribe to them all. Don't forget to get connected to our new media feed as well. We want you to make sure you're part of that. And as always, we want you to email the show here, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And of course, you can reach me on Twitter. Don't forget about the special live stream deal that we got going on with mmcom.com/livestream. Tell Don and Mike over there that send you over. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor, Citrix GoToMeeting. And we want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. All right, folks, that's it. And we'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Until then, aloha.